This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
There's all these things you look at and go, what is going on here? But in reality here, this is a small apartment. They apparently all shared one bedroom together. Yeah. That's where a lot of this abuse was coming from. That's what we've learned from the police affidavit, that that's how they determined this was him. This was in this house. This was there. What are the odds that Jen Soto was completely clueless that her boyfriend was sexually abusing her daughter?
Yeah, I would have to say she would really have a pretty severe personality disorder to be that clueless. So I can't say it has never happened. Mm-hmm. But my guess would be that there was, to some degree, at least some awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of chatter on YouTube from people who went to high school with him, and we don't know how much of this can be corroborated or is true, but that he had a lot of weird sexual behavior going back many years. Yeah. Just a real odd guy. And we, of course, if he's guilty of, well, we know he's guilty of the sexual abuse because there's plenty of evidence of that. So we don't know how many other times, you know, a person like this has behaved in this way and gotten away with it because somebody has just never reported.
I mean, what are the odds that this is his only victim?
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. And some of that odd sexual behavior, one interview that I had seen with someone who had gone to high school with him, it was more than just the YouTube, you know, chatter that we've seen, but this was someone, I mean, it's you know, it's hearsay. It's someone trying to recount an event that took place years ago in high school. And I won't go too in detail, but, you know, you have to say enough to get the point across that he was caught peeping at, I believe, mm-hmm. one of his friend's moms. Mm-hmm. And he also carried around a soda bottle with his own semen in it.
And that's a bizarre sex offender behavior that most people, I don't think, realize that's commonly done.
Is that a thing? But I mean, I guess that's why I'm going to ask you more than anyone else.
It is a thing.
As a psychotherapist.
There was a weird case here in my city in the Pacific Northwest of a guy having cups of semen and going through a grocery store. He always went to the same Safeway. It happened to be the Safeway in my neighborhood. And he would throw it on women from behind. And, you know, they caught him on film in the store, and it was, and he had done it repeatedly. And so it is a weird sexual behavior, saving semen and doing strange things with it, which just, you know, disgusting.
I feel like I want to gag. Like, literally.
Yeah, that would be appropriate.
I feel sick. Just yeah. This.
Yeah, he did. That one here did get arrested and go to jail. But I tell you, I never felt the same way about going to Safeway.
Not exactly a safe way to shop, though, is it? No. Safeway. We're now safer than ever. No more semen in aisle 7. Exactly. God. I'm assuming that this is indicative behavior of someone who was likely also abused. Or, I don't know, it's going to come out of nowhere for some people.
It comes out of nowhere with some people. And again, there are so many factors that go into this. Sometimes you'll find a person with some kind of sexual abuse. Sometimes you'll find head injuries. Sometimes you'll find just this person was very poorly parented and got into a lot of weird, kinky pornography at a young age. So, you know, it can be a lot of different factors that produce this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk more about the deniable or the, you know, plausible deniability or intentional deniability of a mom staying in this home. And let's assume that she does have some knowledge, at least as some clue, maybe not participating in the abuse, but is aware enough of it. Touch on that a little bit. I mean, what's going on with someone's mind that they would subject their daughter? I mean, I'm a dad to a little girl who's now, she's 11. I cannot contemplate, like, in any way, shape, or form, if knowing that someone is abusing her, especially someone in your own home, putting up with that or being like, I'm going to pretend this isn't happening because I don't want to feel the ick of it, because I don't want to have to deal with the repercussions of this and have to go through that horrible mess that would certainly be. So I'm just going to let it keep going on. I'm going to let the abuse keep going and they can deal with it later. I mean, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's a grotesque failure, isn't it? It's just grotesque to imagine that. The times I've seen that kind of situation happen, as I say, sometimes it can be just a really malevolent person who doesn't care. I don't think that's the most common time. But more often, it's a woman with a very dependent personality disorder. And she will do just about anything to keep her man. Even, I mean, you know, you'll see women get involved in really weird sexual behavior, whether it be porn related or other kinds of things that normally they would not do, but they'll do it because he desires this. And it's really, I think, impossible for normal people to wrap their head around why would you be so enmeshed with a person like that?
Yeah.
And to the point you would do anything to hold on to them. But that could be something that's going on here.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.